Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story.
Welcome to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story, Season 1, Episode 10, Smoldering Children.
Indeed they were.
Everyone.
I didn't even know that.
Doesn't it make sense now?
It makes so much sense.
Everyone was smoldering.
Yes.
I love to smolder.
We have a huge episode to break down tonight.
But before we start, Congratulations are in order. We didn't get to address it last week.
Oh, no, we didn't.
But we get to do it this week without you knowing. Our lovely host, Billy Nellis, is one of the After Buzzers of the month.
Oh, and I couldn't think of a more deserving candidate. Could you?
No, not at all.
Because I really can't.
Except for myself.
Literally, everyone who watches and listens to this podcast repeatedly tells me that they hate David, but they love you.
Rude. Everybody loves me.
No, you're really wonderful, and thank you for driving the show and keeping us on our toes.
And can I say this, actually?
Do it.
This is the first show that we've had all After Buzzers of the Month.
You guys all I know. We are the dream team.
We were consecutive, I believe.
Yes. There went Deidre, David, myself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was September, October.
And November.
Oh my God, die for that.
So you are listening to the AfterBuzz Dream Team.
Yes,
breakdown,
the autumn
American
team.
Horror Story for the fall quarter of 2011.
Love it.
All right. Well, moving on, we have a huge, huge episode to talk about. So many reveals, so much truth finally out in the open. So let's just jump into it. I want to start with something we have to talk about that's lesser, but I want to get out of the way first so we can...
Equally as important.
Yes.
I don't see anything as lesser. I don't even know what you're talking about. Tell me, what are you talking about?
It had less import on the total effect of this episode.
Okay.
The storyline of Ben and Vivian. It was very small this week.
Oh, yeah. Again.
There's just a very little bit to bring that along, but we do need to talk about it because we now have finally see that Ben... is back on Vivian's side. He goes to her early in the episode and finally tells her, you know, he does believe her. He drops the bomb on her that even though everyone didn't think he should tell her, that she is in fact pregnant by two men.
No.
He went against his better judgment and told her.
Right. I mean, how do you tell that to somebody? How do you tell that to your wife who's in an insane asylum? Granted, you put her there.
He did it because he recognized that she's not really crazy.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Okay. But, like, how does even a doctor go to a patient and be like, hey, by the way, you're having twins and they don't have the same father?
That's right. Why you're not a doctor.
I could be. You don't know, man.
That would be rough.
Yeah, to say the least.
To say the least. So, and then he tells her this and, you know, goes on about how now he believes that she was raped and how sorry he was for the last, what he did in the last episode, that really awful,
display of emotion.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, that he showed last week. Ugh. I mean, tries to atone for it. I don't think it's enough yet, but I think he's going to.
But I think it's a great step forward for him and Vivian into sort of repairing what they've lost.
Right. Definitely a step in the right direction. But I'll be honest, I was expecting her to be a little more receptive to his apology, and she just seems so cold and disconnected.
You know, I was kind of glad that she was as disconnected as she was, because I don't think that he deserves more reception than that yet.
I don't either. And I think at the same time, they had been separated before she even went into the the asylum. So I think she's sort of written him off.
Like, as it is.
As it is, even before any of this had happened.
Right.
I just thought she'd be, like, excited to see the beginning of this whole, like, coming around from the insane asylum episode. But no, to say.
And I also think, though, that she also, I think she might have thought that she was maybe better off where she was, because we see he says, I'm going to get you out of here. And the first thing she says, I'm not going back to that house. She has no desire to go back there.
Well, because she knows what's going on in that house.
And I mean, regardless of whether you knew that everything was going on, one, you'd been raped there.
In the house.
Right.
Yes.
And then you'd also been attacked there like a week later. Like, I would. Even if I didn't think there were ghosts, I would not want...
That'd be the least of your problems.
I would not want to be there anymore. So he says that it's going to take a couple of days, but he is going to get her out.
Because of some legal issues, because she shot him.
Yeah, there's some, I believe, legal hiccups.
Hiccups because of the gun.
No, but... So
understandably
she
so.
She shot him...
Accidentally.
Right, but there was no... He rebounded from that through and through... Really rather quickly. I've never been shot. I've never known anybody who has been, but I would sort of believe that even a clean through and through would require a little
it's
bit
It's still a hole through your body. And it was through his leg, I think.
Right, and he's walking around...
All normal and
like,
fine.
There's nothing wrong.
There would be some sort of a recuperation process
right.
in
At
a
least
hospital.
A little bit of physical therapy.
Yeah.
Something.
He's good as new.
I know. Nothing. It was a nick. It didn't even go through.
Nothing
phases Ben Harmon.
I was just
going to
say that.
Oh, my God.
Get
All right. Well, that was really all that we got on there. I mean, we saw a lot more of Ben, but it ties into the greater storyline that I want to save for towards the end of this.
Not enough Connie Britton, though, I will say.
Just one scene with Connie. And obviously,
I think they're saving it up.
We have everything's going to center on her, so we were getting...
The birth scenes are going
to
be amazing.
And I think what it was, this episode, was to get these other storylines out of the way, to leave everything to be what... is in her and how it's coming out.
Right.
What is in her? Oh my God.
I mean, that is the big question. But some answers that we did get, some questions that were answered. Firstly, the true story behind Larry and his...
Whom I completely forgot that the story that we originally got from him was fake, because we haven't seen so much of him that when this story was told, I was like, wait a minute.
Did we sort of feel bad for him?
Awful. I felt awful for him.
Me too.
Granted, he wasn't the nicest person before any of this happened, but to be set on fire.
See, well, here's the thing.
In your office?
Yes. So we do see, you know, the show opens in 1994, and we finally sort of get an understanding of, we see the family unit and when Larry stepped in.
And not only are we getting the true story of Larry, we're also sort of getting an insight into Tate's relationship with Constance and like why he did what he did.
I mean, I think that the clearest reason, obviously, there's something brutally wrong with Tate, regardless.
you think?
Completely
but,
insane.
I mean, I think that what he says to her at that dinner, where no matter how much you want me to be, I will never be your perfect son.
Right.
And the only thing that he could, the worst way he could prove that to her was what he did that next morning. He woke up, he did four lines of blow.
Very logical, which would have
sent me like running around the world, but apparently it just sends him off on
a shooting spree. Not that you would know from personal experience.
I don't know, but I imagine. And he goes, and we think we're going to see a different side of the shooting. That was my impression.
That's exactly where I thought it was going. I was like, oh, he's getting ready.
I was like, okay, he's in like the computer lab. He's walking to the computer lab, and then they cut down to him holding this gas can.
Yeah.
And then I just, oh my God, was literally like, I shot up. I was watching it in bed last night, and I shot up, and I was like, he burned Larry.
The special effects were incredible in that scene.
So good.
I mean,
we see it in the center there. We finally realized what that image is from, that burning man. We finally saw it.
Connecting the storyline.
Yes. So good. They did that. They handled that so well. And it was just so... I didn't see it coming. I never expected that Tate would be what had happened.
As big of a psychopath as he is.
I'm still... I know I've said this before, but I'm just still so conflicted because he is so gentle and kind and loving with Violet. The lengths that he was trying to go to save her from recognizing her own death, which is something we'll obviously talk about after. But to see that he's the other side, he is a horrific monster.
Right.
He shot up the school. He burned Larry to a crisp.
Okay. To a crisp.
He did.
He did.
He's awful to his mother. Now, there might be other extenuating circumstances, but I'm sorry, I should never drive you to the point of burning your mother's
homicide.
Boyfriend.
Or yes, thank murder. You.
Right. So. It is, and I think that seeing the sides of Tate where he can be good and when he is with Violet, that's what makes him even scarier, I think.
I think so too, but I think it also begs to question what he sees in Violet is possibly what he saw in himself when he was alive.
Right.
So is he a bit of a sociopath? Is it fair to say that?
Anyone who can bounce back and forth between those two paradigms is a sociopath, 100%.
Right.
But sticking with Larry, I mean, the story of Larry does seem to me to be very tragic. He was this man who was taken advantage of by this really cold and evil woman.
Manipulative.
Understatement.
Completely taken advantage of her. I mean, he lost his family because of it. He didn't do anything to his family beyond cheating on them. But through that, because he was manipulated by Constance, loses his entire family. Then is so in love with this woman that he takes her in and is treated so horribly by her son, at least. Addie seemed to probably be nice to him.
Yeah. Addie wanted to go to the theater.
I love the theater. That's so great.
I
loved seeing Addie again. I was really happy that she was in that scene just for the brief, because she was like a warm spot in
that cold room.
Right.
It's like such a testament to the writing on this show. The way that Tate gave his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like literally dying at the sarcasm, at the metaphors he was throwing out. You know, the thing that he said about his father, how I wish I would have run away with him even though he left me. Like, I was just sitting there and I was like, this is why I love this show. And then you tweeted about that. Like, you found your new crack.
Yeah. Oh, completely. This is my new Lost.
Yes.
Like, I was a Lost obsessie for 7 years, and this is definitely taking its place.
I like that word.
But
ham, I'm sorry, what was going on? The pineapple? That was so weird.
That's some fancy ham.
Yeah, I don't like ham
Constance
at all.
Is a fancy lady.
But it's just, I mean, just going back to Larry, it is so sad to me, though. Like, he's everything he's done has been for her. I think that...
Everything.
I think that the beginning, you know, we didn't understand those first couple of episodes where we weren't sure, one, if he was real, if he was a figment of Ben's imagination. He's giving Ben these weird stories. And clearly now, all of it was to scare the Harmon family out of that house so Constance could get back into it. That is Constance's end game. I've come to the point where she wants that house.
That's it.
She wants control of that house. And
well, I mean, if you think about it, she's an older lady. Most of her family has died on the property.
Right.
And if she as well passes,
she wants to pass
could
on
sort
that
of
property.
Live forever.
Right.
With her family.
With her family.
Exactly.
I was kind of bummed we didn't get to see her reunite with Travis.
I know.
In the house. But maybe hopefully that'll be next episode.
I think that I have a feeling that will happen.
Because did you see how she lit up when she said he died in the house?
Yeah.
You know, it gave her like that glimmer of hope.
Right. Right. But so I do believe that everything that Larry did has been for her. And so then even now he realizes that we see that the police really believe it's Constance. They first go to question her, then she happens to drop that giant knife in front of them when she's coming
smooth.
Back from threatening
Real
Larry.
Real smooth, Constance.
And they believe her. I mean, they have no other person to look at, and they've heard from the Koreans down the street about their fights, even though they are so suspicious from Hiroshima.
Which I was going to say, beautiful allusion to Hiroshima, okay?
She's so racist.
She is.
And to look the cop in the face and say the colored part of town.
She is just so blatantly doesn't care
she
about.
She has such balls.
She has verbal diarrhea is what she has.
So Larry recognizes that, you know, he part of him wants to save her, I think, because he's still in love with her. But then he does see his family finally for the first time. He's never seen them in the house. And after talking to Travis and getting the evidence of his murder, I think he was actually going to plant it on Constance at first because he was so angry at what she had done.
Well, he said that to his ex-wife.
He says, I'm going to make her pay. And I think that was what he was doing at that point. But then his wife says to him, why? She didn't break any vows. Right. She didn't destroy this family.
Oh, that gave me chills.
And I think that was finally when Larry realized that, you know, he needed to pay for something.
Yeah.
And so we do see he turns himself in. Constance believes she's going to be charged. Her court-appointed lawyer thinks she's going to be charged. They're called back down to the precinct, and Larry has confessed that he's done it all
alone. It's so tragic. Like, after so many years of serving, basically, this woman.
Right. And then their final confrontation when she goes to see him, how he's going to be sent away. And
he's now serving in Illinois.
Right.
It's so upsetting.
It is. And he, you know, he says to her that, you know, he did this. What I think was great was he's explaining why he did it. And he says that he really didn't do it to protect her because he doesn't think that she needs any protection, that she can handle herself, that she's proven that. But that he needed to pay for all of his sins, that he had done so much in the course of their history that he needed to pay. And there was a moment where it was so fantastic that Jessica Lange, honestly, if she doesn't get an Emmy nomination for supporting actress for this episode, then there's no justice in the world. But there is this...
in the world.
It's true.
There's this glimmer on her face where she, I think, is terrified by the idea of penance for sins because she knows how many sins she's committed.
And if she was to repent, it would be, limitless.
Right. I think that Constance is so driven by that fear. And there was this moment where you saw that on her face. And it was just such incredible acting to see that. But then he says to her, you know, I can suffer through anything if you just say those words to me. Yeah. And she is cold to the core.
I see.
She's the original. I was going to say the original Ice Queen.
Get out of my freaking head.
Just.
What?
I said get out of my head.
I know. We've been stealing each other's lines tonight.
But just cold. Just so cold.
Even in his last moments, she might never see him again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she cares, though. She is emotionless.
You know what? Everything, so you don't have to say, I love you. You don't have to say, I really care about you. She doesn't need to lie, but she could just say, I admire what you're doing. Go.
But I don't think she does. I think she looks at him as like a weak man.
She does.
So can we mentally diagnose her? If Tate's a sociopath, what would we call?
She's no better.
No, she's a sociopath. Just
oh, my God.
As well. Without a doubt.
There's crazies running left.
Oh, completely.
I mean, it has to run in the family,
of course,
right?
Right.
Passed down through the genes.
It has to. But also, before we move on from this, I want to talk about the other reveal that was so disgusting that we saw. The real truth, what happened with Hugo, her husband's body.
Oh, my God.
Where
she is freaking
instead
crazy.
Of,
awesome.
Instead of bury him, she grinds him up into dog food and feeds him to the dogs.
The kennel of dogs.
Is there anything lower than that? Like, the most vile, putrid thing I've ever heard of in my whole life.
You think so little of your husband that you don't want to bury him with his quote-unquote lover. You're going to grind him up,
and turn
feed
him
to
feces,
your dogs,
essentially.
And so that they shit him out.
Yeah. What's your language?
That's what she said.
She said she thought of him nothing more than dog shit.
Yeah.
I know, but this is not FX. This is AfterBuzz TV.
Campy. If they're watching this,
they
can handle.
All right, no one likes you. a low point. Perhaps one of the most disturbing images we've seen on this show.
So disgusting.
A lot of disturbing images in this show. I'm sure you're about to segue into the next one.
And I mean, I think definitely the most disturbing thing we saw, happened towards the end with Violet. So let's just jump into this. The
The meat.
The point of this episode.
Yes.
You know, we talked about it last week. It's clearly become, a lot of people were wondering, the huge debate, is Violet dead? And, you know, we had that interview that we read with Ryan Murphy where he said we would conclusively know this week. And he was true to his word. Which impresses me because, you know, a lot of people who create TV shows like this that are so heavily mythologized and that need to sustain themselves, they don't give out all the answers, but American Horror Story
has delivered,
given
week by week
to the point where there's really not, it's strange. There's not much mystery left, but it adds so much more mystery.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Like you're being satisfied. I would literally throw things at my television if he was, like, leading us on to believe that we were going to learn all these important facts, and then it's just sort of, like, wishy-washy and
right.
not really
it is,
clear.
It is very satisfying.
He delivers every week.
As a viewer, as a fan, I've never been unsatisfied
in
these 10 weeks. I have
Word.
Not been. But so, you know, the episode begins, we see Ben is approached by a truant officer for the school district.
Which, by the way, do they actually do that?
Yes.
I think they do.
Do you have experience?
I think
they do in L.A. I think it depends on the city. I know that where I grew up, they didn't. Or they might. Because I think it is like some form of... The parent can be charged if they're not
right,
ensuring
because
that their child is in school.
If the parent is not calling in to let the school know
that right.
the child
is
out there...
Yeah.
Then
they're wondering what's happening to the child.
The truant officer gets involved.
Right, because there's so many unexplained absences that they want
right.
an explanation
plus
for where the
child has been. She's been missing for 3 weeks.
16 consecutive, yeah, school days. So
yeah,
that's,
so
that'd
be
3 weeks.
It's almost a month.
3 school weeks.
Right.
Yeah. So, he, you know, he says that any more absences, they're going to be taken to juvenile court.
Hold on, sorry. Can we just talk about that for a second?
Sure.
If I wasn't going to school, if I didn't go to school for one day, my parents knew. Okay, I lived at home. Violet lives at home. What are, like, obviously Vivian's been in the mental institution.
I think there's just so
that's
much
the
going
so
on in the house.
They're preoccupied with all their own issues that they have just forgotten about Violet.
It's just such a part of life. You wake up at, you know, 7,
like,
you get ready, and you
there?
Go to
like,
school.
Who's presuming, exactly.
They just let her sit in her room and rot
yeah.
all day?
Like, who... That's
why
the thing.
Is no
like,
one
why is
reprimanding
no one
her?
Taking her to school. Like, how was she getting to school before then?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't understand. She doesn't have a car.
Was
like,
Viv
where...
dropping her off?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she was taking the bus to school.
How do you know that? Did she say that?
No, because otherwise they would have noticed.
They would have known. I mean, it has to be the explanation then.
Yeah. That she would
otherwise, then it's just really weird that they're just like, oh, I just forgot to drive her for 16
right? 16 consecutive days. Okay, sorry. Continue.
But so, you know, Ben goes to speak to her. And he says, you know, we need to figure something out. And she's like, I don't want to go back there. I don't go to any school. And he says, we have to find you at least a new school. We have to do something or I'm going to go to jail. Some of us is going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. We need to figure this out. And so she seems to agree. We see her the next morning. She's getting ready for school. She's going to do it. She wants to, you know, she doesn't want anything to happen to her dad. There's already so much going on. And Tate grabs her because foreshadowing, Tate knows she can't go.
Right.
And he doesn't want her to find out this way. So he, you know, sweet-talks her.
With
kisses
Scrabble.
Her. We'll play Scrabble if you want. Please just stay. What's one more day? What's one more day? What's one more day?
At 16, I would have stayed. I would have been like, yeah, Scrabble sounds good.
Anything would have sounded better than school.
Right. Exactly.
Let alone hanging out with my hot boyfriend playing Scrabble. I'll
right.
take it.
And
yeah.
So, sure. So she obviously doesn't go to school. We've also been noticing flies
gross.
In the house. The truant officer is the first person to notice
them.
He called them some, I don't
like
know what he called them.
Brown fly or something.
Yeah, I don't
like
know what
that.
He called them.
Yeah, I watched this episode with Sydney DeBear, who's another AfterBuzz host, and she and I were both like, what?
I didn't understand
him. I didn't know he said fruit flies.
Yeah,
or
I don't know what?
What
he said. But so he first notices the flies on the apples in the living room, and Ben realizes he needs to call an exterminator. The exterminator comes out, and says, you know, there's got to be all these houses have crawl spaces. They're seeing flies coming up from the floorboards. It's repulsive that
really?
No one has noticed this yet.
Mm-hmm. They're so wrapped up in their own lives that they don't notice anything. I mean, he fired Moira. He doesn't even notice that his daughter's not going to school. It doesn't surprise me
that they've
the
not
flies.
Noticed, like an infestation.
Moira would have handled the fly situation though.
She would have taken
maybe
care
Moira
of
Moira was. Maybe that's why
she was managing it.
No
and now
one's
that
known
she's gone,
because Moira was there doing
right.
it,
taking care of something.
Very well, could be.
That makes sense.
But so the superintendent is like, you know, all these stuff crawl spaces. I'll get down there. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's just some vermin that's crawled, you know, under the house and died. Some possum, something. And so we see him, you know, going down in there, and he sees something that terrifies the shit
living
out of him.
Hell out of him.
And before we can see it, before we know what it is, Tate jumps out of the crawl space and kills him.
He says, "You're a murderer and you need to repent for your sins."
I'm presuming he's talking about the bugs that he murders. Like, that's why he was calling him that.
Oh.
You think?
See, I thought Tate was being a sociopath and he was trying to
justify
put the blame
I think he was just trying to justify that he murders animals as an exterminator, and so he needed to repent for all of that, and that's why Tate killed him. That was the way I took it. But so he kills him.
That's a metaphysical way of thinking about it. I like it.
Right? But so he kills him to make sure that this isn't brought to light, whatever is in the crawl space.
But it's safe to assume then, if the exterminator dies on the property, we are going to be seeing him again.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. So he's going to be chilling
and
down
so
there with everyone.
If he stuck Violet's body under the house to hide it...
Where is he going
to
put that body?
Where is he going to put that body?
Right.
Because he can't leave the property.
Right.
Oh, maybe he'll feed that to the dogs. He'll take a cue from his mom and just get rid of it.
There's no dogs.
There's no dogs left.
Wait, what are the dogs that...
Well, those were Constance's
dogs. They were Constance's, but she runs the kennel at her house now. Because she doesn't live there any longer.
Okay. So more exterminator man.
Right. Exactly. But so then we see Ben is on the phone with some school that he's going to... Some preparatory school. Looks like he's going to maybe get Violet... Wants to get Violet out of here, away from Tate.
It had a fancy name, like Lemon Grove.
It was. It was Lemon Grove. Yeah. I'm fairly certain it was.
Yeah. I love the Lemon Grove school.
Very, very prestigious.
Lemon Grove school.
They have,
school
that, they have a great Chinese language program, according to Ben. That's what he says.
Right.
But Tate sees him.
Awesome.
Tate overhears this phone call and goes up and tells Violet that, you know, Ben wants to send her away. Turns Violet against Ben. And he says he has a plan. He's going to take care of it. And the next thing we see is him putting on the rubber man suit. Cut to commercial. And we come back to maybe my favorite shot of this entire episode.
Dylan McD, shirtless, water dripping everywhere.
I can
shirtless,
tell you.
He was naked.
I only saw the shirtless part.
I was
part.
Squinting so hard to see how far down that shot went.
Oh.
You were like, I'm going to put this on slow.
Every male who likes males who was watching that was squinting real hard to see how far down that shot
went. Any male in America was checking out Dylan McDermott, okay? That man is fierce.
So he gets, who is, by the way, 50 years old?
And he looks incredible. Doesn't look a day over 30.
I would trade 25 extra years to look like that.
Ugh.
Because at 25, I don't look like Dylan McDermott at 50, and I wish I did.
And apparently Tate didn't know what he was up against.
Right.
He thought he was going up against an old man, and Dylan McDermott threw down.
Well, he should have known the minute he walked in on him on the shower.
And seen the muscles.
And seen the muscles. And
rip.
I'll come back later.
But so he attacks him out of the shower. And reveals himself to Ben, lets him know that this is who I'm the one who's been doing this.
I think inadvertently, I think Ben finally got the mask off of him in sort of like a.
Do you think? I thought that he was trying, but I thought that Tate pulled it off at the end, and he said, "I'm," because that's when he spoke to him. But I think Tate pulled it off.
Oh, really? Because I thought.
Because Ben
had a chokehold around him, and I thought Ben grabbed from behind.
That's what I assumed
and
as well.
And pulled it off.
And he was able to get it off, and that's why he spoke to him.
Because I don't think Tate's ready to be a father of the Antichrist.
True. All right. Well, then he did.
Well, there's that. And I don't think he needs to stall before he can reveal that Violet's dead.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I guess he was trying
to figure this out.
Yeah.
But so he, you know, he tells him that the only reason he's not killing him is because of her, because of Violet. And he... knocks him out somehow. I'm not really... Was there something on that cloth? I felt like he was, like, trying to...
It was probably, what do they call that?
Chloroform?
Yes.
Very Casey
that.
Anthony. American Horror Story. Keeping it topical. Right.
But so, Tate knocks him out. Tate goes back up to... They're in the attic. Goes back up to talk to Violet.
I want
to
know where the hell he put him.
But
I
mean,
he just left him there in a towel.
Ben?
He just left
him
there.
And then he woke up. He was unconscious for a little, and then he woke up.
I think he'd honestly did just leave him lying there and went right back up there.
Oh my god, what if he killed Ben?
He didn't.
But that'd be such an interesting thought if Ben was the next ghost. But okay, sorry, keep going.
But so he tries to talk Violet into killing herself. It's the only way that they can be together.
He romanticizes suicide.
Right.
Well,
I mean, it's the only way she can be with him.
Didn't Shakespeare I mean, he uses the reference in the show.
Yeah, they do use that
reference.
They
do use that reference, and it has been sort of like
a creepy, twisted, weird, not cool way. He tries to be nice.
Right.
He's doing it like, I don't want you to think you died from this horrific drug overdose.
Right.
Let's do this romantically together in a bathtub with candles.
It was kind of sweet because, I mean, we see that she sort of tries to appease him, but she's like, I'm not doing this. And she runs down, she tricks him to do it in the tub. He agrees, and she tries to get out of there. And really, in one of the saddest scenes in this episode, maybe this season, of her realizing this, she tries to get outside, and the minute she runs out the gate, she's running right back into the house.
Which is
so interesting to finally see one of the inhabitants of this home trying to leave the property and see what happens to the house to pull them back.
And it's just so sad. She repeatedly keeps trying to run. She doesn't understand why she can't get away. And more every time, progressively, she's crying heavier and freaking out more. And that was so sad for me.
It was such good acting.
It was so good. It was so sad. And she looks at Tate and she says, are you trying
to
kill
me?
And he says, it's too late for that. And he says to her, you know, I need to show you something. And he takes her and shows her her body in the crawl space and tells her, we finally realized that when she did take those pills, she did die. And Tate tried to save her, tried to make her throw them up. But he couldn't get her to throw up enough of them. And she died crying in his arms.
Right. He said, you died loved.
Right.
Which is, like, a little romantic, but a little creepy at the same time.
But such is the basis of American Horror Story.
Right.
I know.
So.
But it is, what's so interesting, though, is, you know, we've talked about how much of a sociopath he is, but I do believe him in this instance.
Right.
That
I feel like he does genuinely feel for her.
This is the one thing that he feels for and wants to protect and wants to take care of. And it is sort of romantic that he wanted her to... He wanted her to want to die so that her realization that she already was wouldn't hurt so bad because she'd already accepted that she wanted to.
Right.
And that was what he was trying to do.
That didn't work
out
so well.
And unfortunately, it didn't work.
Because he got so angry.
Right. He doesn't know how to control his sociopathic tendencies.
I agree with you on what you just said. It was really, really cool, I think, for the viewers, the audience at home, to finally see for the first time somebody realizing what their new fate is.
Yeah.
Because Hayden died on the property.
Yes.
But we never saw her being like, what's happening? Why can't I leave? Blah, 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 blah. This is the first time that we've seen that because I'm so used to seeing people like Moira, people like
who've already
Tate,
realized it and accepted
they're
it.
They're so comfortable with the fact that they can't leave this house.
Right.
To see that like raw emotion coming out of Violet was just incredible.
Right. And what's also interesting, the other reveal, you know, the question that's been asked so long is why doesn't Tate know that he's dead?
Right.
We've been debating this and wondering whether he does or not. And
why is Constance making him go to therapy?
Right.
Like,
and we got a part of it where after Violet has seemed to calm down a little and she says to him, you know, why I thought I was protecting you, but you were really protecting me. Why were you doing that? And he says, you know, what was I supposed to say? Hi, I'm Tate. I'm
wanna
dead.
Wanna hook up. So hot.
And in that moment, I guess. And in that moment, we realize that he's known all along, but he didn't want her to know.
Now, here's my question for you guys. Do you think that Constance knows that he knows that he's dead? Or do you think that she wanted him to go to Ben to work through some of his issues?
Because he then says after, she says, I still don't remember dying. And he says, I don't either.
Right.
And I think that Constance wants him to talk to Ben so that Ben can help him unlock what happened to him and why he died. I think that's what's necessary for him to be at peace.
To move on?
Maybe not to move on, because I don't think she wants to move on. I think she wants her family still in that house. But I think she wants Tate to calm down and maybe
be at peace.
And realizing realizing what he had done maybe will stop him from being so angry and maybe will help him have a relationship with her. I think that's what she wants.
Okay.
Yeah, progress.
I think that's what she's hoping, because I don't think that I believe with him when he says though that he still doesn't remember how he died. So
but what's interesting is that Violet knows how he died.
Right, and that's where you can see
because she Googled it?
Well, yeah, she Googled it
and Constance basically told her. But then he says to her, you know, it's you and me for always, and you can just see in Violet that terrifies
her. The terror.
Because she knows what he's capable of and what he's done, and granted she's dead and nothing can happen to her, but just... she's now in eternity with this person, and does she want that? She was not given the option to choose eternity with this person. Yeah,
they're immortals now,
right,
together.
Right.
Well, sort of immortal, because they're dead.
But they're alive. They're living forever. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
They have endless lives.
To a certain extent, yes.
Yeah.
Don't argue so with me.
I wouldn't call it a life.
But she's still technically
alive. She's present.
Right.
Okay, that's a good way of putting it, because
forever.
Her flesh is there. She can cry. She has, you know, human emotion. She
can have sexy times.
Oh, she's not going to eat anymore.
She doesn't have to eat.
Right.
Yeah, she can have sexy time. But that'll be interesting if they want to have like a family dinner and she can't. Oh my God, there's so many new questions presenting themselves.
I know. Well, let's cut to commercial break. When we come back, we have some fan mail that you guys sent in that we are going to read, and we have some news and gossip, so we'll jump into that.
We're actually going to skip a commercial break because we're short on time.
Awesome.
Straight into you.
All right.
Amazing. Let's do it.
No commercial. We have two emails that you guys sent in to us. David.
After Buzz.
Beautiful.
Hip new, little charming ringtones, so to speak, in there. Sound effect.
Let's get right into them. David, if you want to read the first one.
Okay. I only have one. I couldn't find the other one in my email.
I'll find the other one while you're reading that.
Fortunately. Okay. So it comes, "Dear AfterBuzz people, I'm really confused about why everyone seemed to think it was so obvious that Violet was dead. The only evidence people cite is that she had been truant, but that's not unusual for a rebellious teen who hates her school and has a live-in boyfriend. The other thing people cite is the fact that she was seeing more of the other ghosts, but Constance can see them and she's not dead. Larry can see them and he's not dead either. One of you guys also cited last week that Tate had dragged Violet into the basement before he woke her up during her suicide attempt, but I rewatched that and she was clearly in the upstairs bathroom."
Okay. He was trying to make her puke, if I remember correctly.
Yes, right. He was.
In the upstairs bathroom. But then as soon as she died, he dragged her down to the basement.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, where everybody goes when you die in the house.
Right.
Yeah. The reason I ask is that if there wasn't that much solid evidence that necessarily pointed to Violet being dead, I'm led to wonder / worry if Ryan Murphy and company haven't had this all planned out from the beginning and allowed some of the web hype / rumors to influence their storyline / writing decisions. I hope that's not the case, but it just seems like having Violet succumb to her earlier suicide attempt, they've missed out on an opportunity down the line to have Violet make a more conscious decision to take her life in order to be with Tate. And why are people saying that Violet forgot Tate was a ghost when she died? My understanding of her saying, quote, "all this time I thought I was protecting you when you were really protecting me," unquote, was that the whole time she'd been protecting him from finding out he was dead.
Right.
Correct.
I don't know who claimed that she forgot it. I don't know that any of us did.
No, I don't think any of us did.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I'm not confused where that one came from.
Also, when we had a dead squirrel in our crawl space, it stunk so bad we slept in a hotel until it was located. How do the Harmons, particularly one pregnant and presumably sensitive to smell, Harmon, not pick up on the stench of a dead human under their floor?
Who wrote that? Did we have
that? That was from Deborah Ziegler.
Well, thank you for writing,
thank
Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.
So many questions.
A lot of questions.
What an analytical viewer you are. That's awesome.
In regards to the biggest one that jumped out to me was the idea that maybe Ryan Murphy and co. were writing as
influenced.
They went along.
I don't think so.
That will also be addressed. We do have one of those weekly interviews that we find with Ryan Murphy where he does factually refute that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not that's true, whatever, but they're saying that that was part of the plan all
but
along.
It's very
and
interesting.
I believe that. I think that the evidence to use, obviously, that was... I believe that that was planned all along.
I believe that they do definitely have a full...
They have to. There's no way you can write a show
outline
like
for a show like this.
Knowing where it's going.
But it's very safe to assume that possibly they could be influenced by rumors and hype and what the fans are saying and things like that, only to help further along their storytelling, but at the same time, they had to have shot this months ago.
I wish Emily Harbert was here because she's like our resident screenwriting expert.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, somebody as accomplished and expert as Ryan Murphy, he's not writing as he goes along. I think he has an exoskeleton, so to speak.
No, you have to.
I don't believe that a network lets you go to series without like an outline for your
without
season.
Without a full plan.
Right.
Exactly.
They don't just like and sight unseen let yeah, you produce a show.
We have this conversation on Pretty Little Liars all the time because there's so many loopholes.
Right.
That there's so much margin for error that if they don't watch every little detail and something doesn't add up and a viewer watches it and is like, well, that doesn't make sense. Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk are experts, at the very bare minimum, experts at what they do. I think that there is clear direction. I think they all sit in their little writer's room. You know, the rumors. Everybody sits in a room and no one's allowed in. The door is locked.
Right.
And they write
all they eat
all
is donuts.
Yeah.
And I
jelly
think,
donuts.
I think also, I mean, the thing that you have to consider is there's a gap in time between when it's filmed and when it airs.
Right.
And
right.
I don't think that the conversation about whether she was dead or not arose until at the very earliest, like, a couple of weeks ago. And all these episodes have been filmed much longer than that.
I think production wrapped today for the season.
Right. And so, it would have been very hard for them to have listened to people last week and then change that. I do. There's a question that arises, though, from all of this talk that went on about whether she was dead and all these rumors. Do you guys feel like that conversation where we all were wondering sort of lessened the shock of her being dead this week? Because I'll be honest, until people brought it to my attention and talked about it, I never thought that. And I was sort of bummed this week watching because it was a possibility in my head. And I feel like if that possibility had never been put in my head, that it would have been even more shocking to me to be like, holy crap, she's actually dead.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was a little shortchanged because that rumor became such a conversation.
Okay, I definitely don't think that because of the rumor or whatever, it was factored into the storyline. But I am disappointed that she's dead because that obviously limits where her character can be taken in season two.
I think it also limits where the family can go.
Right. 100%. I mean, we're obviously going to see a lot more of this house.
We
Any
are.
Any notion
and
of
who
moving
knows
is not plausible anymore.
If the Harmon family, Violet excluded now, is going to be involved in the further telling of the story. And
right.
if the greater main character of the series is going to be the house as opposed to the Harmon family.
Exactly.
Right. I hope her plot line, though, stays at the forefront of everything because I think she's so dynamic. She's so interesting. I don't want her to just be, you know, one of the ghosts in the background.
Well, yeah, as an actress, she's so fantastic to watch.
Right. She's just so engaging.
Such a find, too. I mean, she's really never done anything before this.
And she's so young and she's just
and
so,
she's so
in
good.
Touch with her.
She was in her sister Vera Farmiga's movie. That's like literally her only acting credit other than this.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read the next one.
All right, really quick. This one's actually going to be much easier to answer. Hey, guys, quick question. All the talk about Violet being dead got me thinking. If the evidence that she hasn't left the house in 2 weeks, in theory because she's stuck on the property like others who died, is true, how come Hayden's ghost was able to make it out in the security guy's car a few episodes back when he tried to take her to the police? Am I missing something, remembering wrong? Help. Thanks for the great podcast and smart insights. Thanks again, Minnie. Well, Minnie, thank you for writing in. The easiest and quickest answer to that is that happened on Halloween when we were explained the rule that all ghosts could roam only on Halloween.
They can leave and on Halloween.
Until the morning.
Right.
When Halloween's over.
That was over, that was the minute that she was pulled back into the house and right out of the car.
Right.
And that is, I think, the explanation to why Hayden was able to leave the property at that time.
P.S. Where was Hayden this week?
I know.
She would have been...
Not present.
She would have had a front row ticket to the Let's Laugh at Violet show.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that I'm so curious about in that wasn't addressed this week, is that if Violet is dead and all the ghosts, some of the ghosts are very aware of what's going on in the house and who's dead and who's alive, why didn't any of the other ones notice that she had passed? Why didn't Moira know?
Well, I think that Tate holds a power in that house. I have a feeling that Tate had something to do with that because I think that Tate is someone that the ghosts don't really want to be around.
Right.
Because them died at his hand. And
he's not Casper.
Right. I wouldn't want to hang out with him.
I think he has some control over some people, and I think that explains it. I think also it's a logistical issue of getting those actors when they can.
That too.
Right.
That too.
But so I think that's how they explain it, and that would make sense to me that Tate was protecting her and
in any way
insulating
he could.
Her and keeping them away from her.
Yeah.
Let's jump into news and gossip since we are running short on time. Let's get into that right away.
Jesse.
Well, I don't know why my news bumper isn't going up right now, so we're just going to continue without the news bumper. So Entertainment Weekly had another interview with Ryan Murphy, asking him, so Violet's dead. Did you always plan on that happening? Ryan answered, that was a really interesting experience, and I think we have such a wonderful writing staff, and I adore them and love them. I always knew she was dead, but I didn't want to tell people until I absolutely had to. So in the writer's room, as we're writing one day, two episodes after the pill thing, I go, you guys do realize Violet's dead? And they're all like, what? I edited the show where she took the pills in a way to me that was very vague. So yeah, I always knew that I wanted her to die. The thing about where the body was revealed was always in my mind as well. I think Evan and...
Thaisa,
thank you, were so brilliant in that episode. It was very emotional to watch. When we shot it, I think we did not show Thaisa the mold of her body. We reserved that for her close-ups. So what you're seeing is her actually responding and looking at a dead her.
Oh, how
and
interesting.
And she said that in that TV Guide interview.
Yeah, that's so creepy.
I can't pull it up in the interest of time, but she did say that they, I forget the special effects terminology, but they did like a full...
They did a mold of her.
A full-blown 360 mold of her, and they did not let her see it. And she said there were literally 15,000 flies on set that day. So that actual shot that we saw of her like freaking out, looking at the dead,
was the first
rotting, fly-infested Thaisa Farmiga was, could you imagine how morbid and creepy that thought is?
That would be so amazing to see.
Yeah.
Testament to her acting.
Yeah. So will Ben and Vivian find out that she's dead? They will find out eventually if she's dead, and imagine what you would do as a parent if you found out your child was dead. Would you want to live? Would you want to die yourself? I knew it would be ripe for that family.
Oh my God, are they going to kill themselves
too? See what I'm saying? Like, it's very possible that the whole through line of this show is going to be the house and not the people living in it.
Well, I have an idea, and we'll talk about that in a second. We'll get through this.
Is this the last we'll see of Larry? Yes, I think this is goodbye to Larry.
Boo-hoo.
Is he headed off to Illinois? Oh yeah, we had to ship him out of state.
Yeah, so he's done it. He wouldn't be coming back because he also is going to be back on True Blood this upcoming season as like a regular again. So
they had to get rid of him some way.
They'll take his name out of the credits. That's sad.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you think he's actually doing this as penance for his sins, or is he still just infatuated with Constance? I think it's both. I love that scene with the wife where he says, I'm going to make Constance pay. And she says, you're the one who broke the vow. I think that was an interesting lesson for him, and I love that the show is dealing with the consequences of actions. I do think he realized he needed to pay for what he did to his family, but I also think he did it to save Constance, who against all odds... he should not still love. And I just loved what Jessica Lange did with that scene. My favorite scene Jessica has done in the whole show is the interrogation where you cut to see what Constance really did.
Ugh,
I love it.
She's just so brilliant.
Oh my God.
This was like her episode. Mm-hmm. She was so fantastic.
Beyond.
So is Tate's reason for the school shooting mostly Beau's death and his hatred for his mother? Yes, well... I think it's more than that. I don't think his motivations were as sinister and dark and effed up as Dylan Klebold, for example. I do think Tate was probably someone who was bullied and made fun of. What he has done in many ways, all of it, is in retaliation of Constance. She had several children and he was the most beautiful, and she had such high expectations and needs and wants and probably wanted him to fill some of her own dreams and ambitions, and he was just not going to have it. We show him doing a lot of crystal meth.
That's what
he's doing, coke and crystal meth.
Well, those lines
before
were coke.
The shooting. I think his massacre became even worse because of the drug tape.
I think he cut them together. He was cutting them together.
So from Breaking Bad, Matthew like smoke it, don't you?
You can snort.
You can inject.
You can do it.
Yeah, okay.
You can like smoke cocaine and you can inject cocaine.
Resident drug expert over here.
I am. There's many things about me you don't know.
Ooh. So
keep going.
Are we going to see Constance's fourth child? Maybe. Is the fourth one like a spider monkey or something? I think Constance's fourth child is Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh my God, I would
die. That's all I'm going to say.
By the way, if Michelle Pfeiffer came on...
Would she over. Not be the most incredible? Over. Done.
So good.
Done.
Would die a happy
over
girl.
And done with.
Yeah.
So good.
Give it to me.
Where is the infantata? I miss that little guy.
Really?
Me too.
Well, he is further explored, and we really get into him in the one after this one. The thing about the episode that's great is we've been very careful to only show split seconds. And in the next episode, you really get to see what that little baby has grown up to look like. And it's really scary. I actually think it's the scariest shot of the year.
Well, thanks to one of our viewers who
we got
sent us a
awesome
still.
Screenshot.
We got an awesome screenshot that scared the living daylights out of
so
me.
So get ready, people, because it's terrifying.
It is the most disgusting thing you've ever
They're
seen.
They're going to bring it. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I hope it looks like it did in that screenshot.
Yeah. It will.
No, because they could change the makeup.
I think they'll replicate it. If anything, they'll make it even worse, creepier, and gorier.
Yeah.
So speaking of screenshots, I love the fight between Ben and Tate, which occurred with Ben half naked. We almost called this episode the case of the magical towel. Dylan was so funny when we were shooting. He's gotten so much attention for his quite well-formed derriere. Well, if he lost the towel, it would be like, how are we going to shoot it? We had to protect his pee-pee. But I love
it. Ryan Murphy is a grown man. Why couldn't he just say penis?
I don't know.
But I love that as the title, The Case of the Magical Tower. Now, since
towel.
Next week... Towel. Since next week's episode is called Birth, Does Vivian Give Birth? She does give birth, but the outcome is not what you would expect. Next week's... Is the second to last episode? Yes, Birth is the penultimate episode, and Afterbirth is the finale. So what can you say about Birth? Well, Birth is dealing with the fact that she's deceased, so she's trying to protect her parents from the pain of that. I think that episode is really about out with the old and in with the new, so to speak. Also, there's been so much talk in the last 5 episodes that people want those babies. Everyone in that house has baby fever. It has one of my favorite scenes we've ever done. Zach Quinto and Jessica Lange wanted a scene where they went head to head. So we're like, we're happy to oblige.
Just.
So we wrote this really great 3-page fight scene between them, where it's Chad versus Constance, which is quite delicious. It's really good, and I'm sort of pissed we didn't do this earlier, because truly the only person who goes against Constance is Chad.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
She's gonna bring it.
The next 2 episodes, in terms of Smoldering Children and Birth, are interesting because I know that some people in the 2 before, with the Black Dahlia and Connie and the Loony Bin, I think people felt you're getting away from our main characters, and people really love the Tate-Violet stuff, and they really want to know about the core Harmons. So these last 3 episodes are all about the Harmons and the outcome of the Harmons.
Oh,
goodness.
Yeah. That was a good one, Ryan Murphy.
I know.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's jump into predictions. Let's just
do it.
Let's do it.
And now, you're after Buzz.
You love me.
Prediction.
All right. So we see, and we've heard from Ryan Murphy that we have these 2 episodes left, Birth and Afterbirth. We see in the previews for next week that, you know, Vivian's coming home, and we do see shots that everyone, we see Chad and Patrick back. We see Nora. I have a feeling that Hayden's going to be in the mix as well. Everyone wants these babies.
Everybody wants a baby.
Really is baby fever.
Everyone wants these babies.
But all for the wrong reason.
Right.
You're all dead. What are you going to do with
a
baby?
No one's trying to nurture and raise a small child.
Right, like how is that even possible?
Right, and the question is, just what exactly are these children going to be anyway? I think that
is the larger question.
Is the most interesting question.
What is really interesting is what we saw in the previews is that
the doctor
Vivian,
says one of them
is ready
to
give birth, which means that we know that they gestated differently because they came from different fathers and were conceived separately. So it is very possible that one would be ready to be born and the other one would get to reside alone in the
room.
Right.
So, and of course this birth is going to take place in the house.
Oh, of course.
It has to. It has to.
So it brings it back to now what's going to happen if you're born on the property.
Right. I think
are you cursed?
I think that's the question. I mean, we were just talking about in the news and gossip about how, you know, what really, where this is going to go next. And is the main character of the show actually going to be the house? And I really think that this setup, and I've said this before in the predictions, that we have these babies coming out, and one is Ben's and Vivian's, and one is Tate's and Vivian's. And I do think that
where this is going to go, what the setup for season two is going to be, these babies and what each one of them represents. And I think that is going to be the new driving factor,
right?
Is these children.
And it also begs to question, are you born with a soul? Do you get your soul when you're born? Like, what can attach to you as, right, as you're being born?
And what does this house do to something that's born inside of it? We've right. only seen people expire inside this house.
Right.
We've never seen them sort
being
of
brought
come
into the world.
Too. So I don't think that's where it's going to go. And I also I had another thought and I just like shot right out
well,
of my head.
Well, I'm curious to see how my number one right now is how Ben and Vivian are going to react to Violet being dead.
Right. I mean, they're going to find out in next week's episode. I think they're going to find out in the finale.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've ever had any doubts about the house, like, that is going to just seal the deal for them.
Right.
And then what are they going to do? But are they going to deal with it? I mean, they don't really
right.
have much of a choice.
And do right. they find out, does Ryan Murphy allow them to find out this season, or is it something that he's going to hold on to for next season?
Right. An elegant cliffhanger.
And yeah. You're definitely going to be a cliffhanger. I have no doubt in my mind about that. But the thing is, I mean, we can't, obviously they're not going to leave because of Violet. And I also don't think they're going to kill themselves so that other owners can come in, because that would just be so cheap to just,
right.
We know the mistress of the house and we don't want to see new people come in and figure that
and
out.
And have to deal with everything
that
again.
Would be,
I don't
would,
want them to take a back seat to new owners.
Right. And I can't see that happening. It would be so, it would be cheap and there would be no reason to watch right. anymore.
And there ain't
would,
nothing right. cheap about this show.
Right.
All
so
right.
I do think that the driving factor has to be those babies and the conflict with everyone who is in this house.
Everyone wants a baby for right. an underlying reason.
Right.
They're going to bring something to this show that
thing,
we've never seen before.
Right. And the Harmons cannot leave with these babies without leaving Violet.
It's
and
very
the
possible.
Ghosts can leave.
It's very possible that everyone wants a baby, because once you have a new baby, maybe they can leave the property.
Oh, like swoop in,
and
put
like
it in
re-live.
Your bag and leave.
Or maybe they can like inhabit the baby's body and
well,
maybe
adding on to it. When he said, out with the old, in with the new.
Right.
Right.
It's going to be, I mean, I'm so excited.
So am I.
I am so excited. Well, thank you guys for tuning and watching. We have, to give you a special thank you, we have been week after week been made number one or number two of the AfterBuzz shows on iTunes. So thank you so much for
thank
watching
you,
us. We wouldn't
you.
Be here if you weren't tuning in, listening and watching. So from everyone at AfterBuzz, thank you so much. Tell your friends who love the show, because I'm sure you've got some, and if they aren't watching, they should be.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
And find us on Twitter.
And we're really, really participatory people. Like, we obviously read the fan mail, so please find us on Twitter. Talk to us with your thoughts, your predictions, your questions. I'm at Her Name Is Deidre.
At You Can Call Me Skiff.
And Billy Nellis _ duh. We all tweet each other. You'll find us very easily. If you have questions, please write in at info@afterbuzztv.com and we will read them on air. So thank you and have a great night, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@afterbuzztv.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.